Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of Acts, and it takes place around the time of Pentecost. From Acts 2. The new converts devoted themselves to the apostles' instructions and the communal life, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. A reverent fear overtook them, for many wonders and signs were being performed by the apostles. Those who believed lived together, shared all things in common. They would sell their property and goods, sharing the proceeds with one another as each had need. They met in the temple and they broke bread together in their homes every day. With joyful and sincere hearts, they took their meals in common, praising God and winning the approval of all the people. Day by day, God added to their number those who were being saved. May each one of us be blessed by a renewed understanding of these portions of our sacred story. Did any of you ever go to an organized camp as a kid? You know, like a summer camp, maybe a sports camp or guide camp, church camp or scout camp, perhaps a music camp or even a family camp. I did. I started out going to a church camp called Quimilac in southern Ontario near a town called Tweed. I started out as a camper, then became a counselor in training. Eventually, when I moved out to Alberta, I became the director of Camp Kasota West at Sylvan Lake for 3 summers. After that, when I started working in a congregation, I organized many, many annual family camps. So you might guess that I loved camp. There is something extraordinarily magical about going to camp, especially going to a camp with a lot of people gathering to eat and play and learn and sing and laugh and cry and pray together. As a young person trying to survive a fairly difficult and dysfunctional home life, I tended in my personal life to be rather withdrawn and reserved at home, trying to stay out of the path of anger and conflict. But when I went to camp, I felt a tangible and liberating release from the tension of trying to hide who I was. I was free at camp, free to share who I was and what I believed, free to be silly and playful and unburdened by my circumstances. I played and laughed and reveled in friendships and exploration with abandon. I didn't have to be anything other than what I brought to the community. And what I didn't bring to the community, someone else did, which always amazed me. Some people were crafty, others musical, some loved sports. Some were more introverted, and others so outgoing they kept the party going. I always had people to talk to and different people to do different things with. To me, camp was, and has been in my life, the closest to the kingdom of God I have experienced on earth. Oh yeah, certainly you'd have your differences with people and disagreements with some. There would always be arguments and fights. We didn't always agree with each other. And not everyone liked everybody. But it was community. And you either worked through your differences or there were others in the community you could connect with. Nevertheless, you could agree to disagree and still be in the community. In fact, that was expected, and people wiser than you made sure that happened. Peace brokers, so to speak, who never let any individual ruin the experience of the whole group. We agreed to get along because of our commitment to each other and the health of the whole. This is how the early Jesus movement and the church started. Our scripture this morning told us the early converts met daily in homes, in the temple, in fields, and under trees to do community together. This is the community Jesus gathered and what the church is meant to be. People doing life together, daily, building each other up by rubbing elbows together on a regular basis to learn and sing and pray together. Filing off the rough edges of each other's personalities and learning to get along because of their differences, not despite them. Last week, Karen spoke about Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on the people and something new was born, something we call the church. Not church as we know it today, church as community, doing life together. Just listen once again to today's scripture as it describes the early believers right after the day of Pentecost. It said, "Those who believed lived together, shared all things in common. They would sell their property and goods, sharing the proceeds with one another as each had need. They met in the temple and they broke bread together in their homes every day. With joyful and sincere hearts, they took their meals in common, praising God and winning the approval of all the people. Day by day, God added to their number those who were being saved." Sounds a little like camp to me. The early church was about building each other up, encouraging and learning from each other, as well as from those who had had a little start on them, like camp counselors, or in this case, the apostles. This being together constantly, eating and living together, sharing whatever they had to the point of disposing of their property for the sake of the community, is what made the early church work. It's what gave each believer the strength and courage to go out and try to recreate what they were experiencing. No independent individualism or selfish acquisition. Everything they did for the community, which was so life-giving for them. What they knew was that people could learn to get along if they committed to spending time with each other, working through their disagreements and differences. What they learned was that close proximity and being together all of the time built intimacy and such deep closeness and selflessness that they would give up everything for the sake of providing for each other's needs. No one would be left out of this community. There were women and men, couples and singles, slaves and slaveholders, black and brown, no white at that time, eunuchs and prostitutes. The only criteria for belonging was faith in the way of Jesus and the desire and willingness to put aside your differences for the sake of building a lasting community and a vision of a kind, compassionate, just world with Christ's Spirit in them making what seemed impossible possible. The kingdom of God and even heaven in Scripture is often described as a banquet. A rowdy party of revelers coming together to eat, pray, love, and encourage one another. The church that daily communed together caught a taste of heaven, and they deeply wanted others to catch it too. The church was never meant to be a place where we gathered together weekly for an hour or two to worship in a building, then go out to go about our regular business without much thought of Jesus or our fellow believers. They were all about the community and drawing others into it. It was messy and boisterous and challenging and occasionally fractious. But in the end, it was always about love and being together and sharing with each other the extravagant and costly love of God. I don't think Jesus would recognize the church today, and I doubt very much whether he would like most of it. It's a watered-down, sanitized version of doing community in a meaningful and transformative way. I'm not even sure most people's desire when they come to church is to be a committed Jesus follower or to participate in the kingdom of God, which is already here if we want to see and do it. Do we really want to be disciples of Christ, to have our lives transformed, to become little Christ? I'm not even sure that I do. I'm kind of comfortable the way I am. Yet we know that people are leaving the church in large numbers. And we'll see what happens when we get back to worship after COVID. Will people realize that they don't miss church that much and have no desire to go back to the bricks and mortar building that doesn't really do that much for them? Or perhaps people have grown to like their Sundays off or have found something that meets their needs better. We'll see. Someone recently said to me, "People try to make Christianity too complicated." And that person just says to people, "Just do what Jesus did." Now, I understood what they were trying to say, but I'm actually not sure that they did. If we just did what Jesus did, we would first give up all of our material possessions, go into the wilderness for 40 days to discern our ministry, and then build up a community around us that did daily life together. This was his basis for drawing others into a way of life that reflected the kingdom of God. Imagine this. A faith community that has a potluck every night where anybody who wanted to come could come, eat together, have a glass of wine, learn something from someone, do a little singing and praying, laugh a lot, share each other's stories, and cry once in a while when someone is suffering. Then afterward, people would split up in groups of their choosing, maybe to play games, others to sing, while one group went off to pray. Some might quietly slip away to journal or read in a corner, while others went and did the dishes and laughed a lot in the kitchen. There might also be groups who want to study something in particular, while others do arts or crafts. Some might go and dance, while others decide then and there to make soup with the leftovers that night to deliver to those who couldn't be there. And it's just all very organic every night of the week. People give what they have to this community to make it better, stronger, and more attractive. Groups ebb and flow with people's desires, strengths, and willingness to lead or participate. And people talked about this community to everyone they knew and invited them to come whenever they wanted because they were always welcome, whoever they were. A great party every single night. Now imagine this one. A group of people coming to a gathering on one morning of the week to be led in worship and prayer and singing with minimal or at least passive participation and no input on what takes place that morning. They just have to show up. Very clear and set rituals and routines are followed such that visitors don't know what to do and feel embarrassed to ask. Certain regulars perhaps come another day of the week to do something for a couple of hours, and that's it for them. The rest of the week, they go about their own personal business. They don't really talk about this gathering to others that much because maybe they're embarrassed or they just think that others wouldn't be that interested. Of course, these two scenarios describe the early church and the church we mostly experience today. Now, which do you think is more attractive? Which one would those not familiar with church be more inclined to participate in? And which most reflects the kingdom of God and the world we dream about? Of course, there's a cost to both. The first will cost everything. The second, very little. What is the church? What could it be? And what are we going to do about it? We need a renewal. The church doesn't have to be in decline. It's not a given. And if it is in decline, well, that's simply a lack of imagination and energy. We can't recreate the first century church. What we can do is create a church for the 21st century that reflects the kingdom of God. So what do you think? Are you interested? Please take a moment to reflect on that.